This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package that we put together just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Welcome to all of our accidental listeners. Glad that you're with us today. And as I get into the Fastest 15 here, I saw a story today about all of the scientists who are starting to acknowledge that the COVID-19 likely came out of a lab in China. And I think that this illustrates a really, really important point for all of us. Because what is happening more and more and more in America is people don't think independently at all about issues, about social positions, about politicians, about anything. You base, not you. I really believe that the people who listen to this show are probably more independently minded than, you know, almost any audience I can imagine. Because I don't say things that are always popular. I know that's shocking to hear. But I think that there are few examples of weaker minds than people who base their opinions on what other people think. Now, obviously, I say that as somebody who bases my opinions on what nobody else seems to think. But it happens even with, you know, highly trained, supposedly academic type people. But they've lost all of the ability for freedom of thought. Here's the headline at NBC News this afternoon. There's still no evidence of a Chinese lab leak, but here's what's changed, scientists say. And then they start talking about this one scientist, Alina Chan. Now, she is a postdoctoral associate at MIT and Harvard University, who specializes in genetic engineering. And she is now saying, and has been vocal about the need to investigate the possibility of a lab leak. And last month, she was one of 18 scientists who published a letter calling for a more in-depth investigation to see if the virus came out of that lab in China. So why is she only speaking out about it now? Why didn't she and those other 18 last year? Well, as the story says, the shift in how some scientists who previously avoided the topic or were quick to dismiss it are grappling with, they are now free from the politicization that clouded such discussions during the Trump administration. Alina Chan said there was trepidation among scientists about discussing the lab leak hypothesis for fear that their words could be connected to Trump's accusations that it came out of a lab. So in other words, they say they believed it came out of a lab a year ago, but they wouldn't say it then because that's what Donald Trump believed. How weak is a mind if you believe something, but I don't like him and he believes the same thing, so I don't believe it anymore. This is a MIT, Harvard, postdoctoral student, a scientist, and she has lost all ability to critically think about things. And that's where I say, you can have all the book education, you can have all the university learned smarts that are available out there, but if you are that truly stupid in not having any true belief in what you say, and that if somebody you don't like thinks the same thing, then you're just not going to believe it anymore, or you won't share that belief. I really find that to be an example of the weakest type of mind imaginable. And, you know, I think that that does exist, you know, a fair amount in this medium. I do think that there are a lot of people who shape their opinions to what they think people want to hear. And, you know, it's for 26 years, I've been giving my open, honest opinion, regardless of what I think people want to hear. And it's led to, you know, great success on all of this. But it's so dangerous. This isn't just about the weakness of minds. This is about the insidious creep that this has in information. You know, the media last year, they, across the board, said that the Chinese lab leak was just a wild right-wing tinfoil hat conspiracy from Donald Trump.
Because we don't know where the novel coronavirus came from yet, the conspiracy theories fill the void.
I'm telling you, the Chi-Coms are trying to weaponize this thing.
Here's conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh with zero proof suggesting a Chinese bioweapon lab is to blame.
This question about the Wuhan lab, we know that it's been debunked.
Those same agencies now have been tapped with investigating one of Trump world's most favorite conspiracy theories.
This week, Donald Trump is still pushing the debunked bunkum, despite his own intelligence community's findings that that is simply not true.
And there is simply no reason to believe that that is the case. There is no empirical evidence to bear.
Okay, it goes on. Montage goes on for another 37 seconds, but you understand the point. That every single person in that media montage abandoned the core principle of that their job. And that is to try to be a watchdog of government, but not to lie to their viewers or their readers or their listeners because, you know, they hate Donald Trump so much. But they did. They all lied. They all said this is debunked. This is right-wing conspiracy. And turned out that they were all wrong because they all stopped doing their jobs. I said last year that I thought it was very likely that it came out of a lab. And all that angered a lot of people. Oh, it's dangerous for you to say that's racist. I don't know how it's racist, but that's what everyone's trying to label it because Donald Trump said the same thing, so it can't be true. And when the media absolutely stops doing its job, as you heard in that montage, it's really dangerous. And, you know, I'll give you another example. Jon Stewart. I played this clip earlier in the week. Jon Stewart went on Colbert's show earlier in the week and did a great, great little rant about the COVID virus and the COVID lab. And listen, when Donald Trump said the exact same thing a year ago, Colbert's audience would have hated it. Oh, he's lying. He's a conspiracy theorist. When Jon Stewart says essentially the exact same thing, they were laughing and applauding. It's genius. And this audience is an example. Colbert's audience is an example, like the media, many in the media, of the weakest minds among us.
I honestly mean this. I think we owe a great debt of gratitude to science. Science has, in many ways, helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science. So,
laughter and applause.
And that's kind of...
I mean, no, it came from bats and nature, because that's not what Trump thinks. So it comes from bats and nature. But now Jon Stewart says what Trump said. Genius. It's just brilliant.
Hold on one second. No. Listen.
I wouldn't do that to you.
What do you mean by that?
Do you mean like there's a chance that this was created in a lab? There's an investigation.
A chance?
Well, if there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's a novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask those scientists, they're like, how did this... So wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan respiratory coronavirus lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle. And you're like, no.
Okay. So that audience, they would have booed if they heard Trump saying the exact same thing. Weak minds. I'll give you another example of a complete media abrogation because this guy's back in the news today. Remember Michael Avenatti? He was Stormy Daniels' lawyer. And Stormy Daniels is going to take down Trump. And we hate Trump, so we love Michael Avenatti. How much did we love him? And the reason he's back in the news today is because prosecutors this morning asked for a 14-year prison sentence for Michael Avenatti, who's been convicted of trying to extort money from Nike. He brought down Nike's stock price by $300 million, and so he's facing prison time for that extortion scheme. He is also facing trial later this month for two other charges against him. And then early next month, he goes on trial for a fourth crime of stealing money from Stormy Daniels. But a year ago, 2 years ago, Michael Avenatti was going up against Trump. So what did the media say about this? And everybody knew who was willing to do independent research. And if you listen to this show, you heard about Michael Avenatti. You heard what a sleazebag he was when he was being heralded by everybody else in the media. Because I talked about it. I talked about it at the time. But everybody else in the media.
He's Donald Trump's worst nightmare. Michael Avenatti.
Joining us once again is Michael Avenatti.
Let's bring in Michael Avenatti.
Michael Avenatti. Michael Avenatti.
Michael Avenatti, thank you very much.
He's out there saving the country.
Don Meacham says he may be the savior of the republic.
You are something of a folk hero now.
I owe Michael Avenatti an apology. I've been saying enough already, Michael. I've seen you everywhere. What do you have left to say? I was wrong, brother. You have a lot to say. I am just dying to hear what you think.
These people all like you.
I'm the only person right here Donald Trump fears more than Robert Miller.
We think you guys are the tip of the spear that's going to take down Donald Trump.
Right. Michael Avenatti's a beast.
Okay, that's true.
And
he's a beast.
He's a beast.
I hand it to her, and I hand it to Michael Avenatti.
But he has a bigger calling here, that being a lawyer is minimal compared to what he's doing.
No one has talked tougher directly to Donald Trump on TV than Michael Avenatti.
Unbelievable. And then they all said, you're going to be the next president of the United States. If they had done the slightest bit of research, they would have known that he was a sleaze and had a history of being sleazy. So again, just today, Avenatti's back in the news. Prosecutors asking for 14 years in prison for extorting Nike. He faces two fraud trials next month and then will stand trial for stealing money from his client, Stormy Daniels. While everybody else in the media was saying, this guy's going to be the next president of the United States. There is a weakness of mind that is out there. And all of these stories are an example of it. And if you don't fall prey to it, I'm proud of you. Because, you know, what, even though everything I say should be gospel, you listen to the show specifically because you don't mind hearing somebody who dares take on popular thought and wisdom around here. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate you very, very, very much. All right, next up in our fastest 15 here, speaking of Donald Trump, he did an interview last night. And he talked again. He was asked about the Wuhan virus lab.
By accident or not, and I would hope that it was accident. I hope that it was through incompetence or an accident. But when you look, whether it was by an accident, whether it was whatever it is, you look at these countries, they'll never, ever be the same. Our country was hit so hard, but other countries were hit much harder. Look at what's going on in India now. You know, they used to say, oh, look how well India's doing, because they were always looking for an excuse. Look how well India's doing. The fact is that India's just been devastated now, and virtually every country has been devastated. Now, I think that's one of the reasons that I feel it's very important to find out where it came from, how it came. I think I know. I mean, I feel certain about it. But certainly China should help. Right now, their economy and our economy are the two economies that are coming back the fastest. I mean, if you think about it, in certain ways, maybe they benefited very greatly. I mean, very, very greatly.
Yes, China did benefit. I know a lot of Chinese people died, but China hates the United States more than anything. And they sacrifice their own people if they could damage the U.S. I think the communist regime would. But again, I'm thinking a little out of the box there. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, huge world news from the world of lingerie. Victoria's Secret has canceled the Victoria's Secret Angels. The beautiful, hot women who used to, you know, they'd have the Victoria's Secret fashion show. It would get huge ratings. There would be network TV specials about the Victoria's Secret fashion show. But they said that in one of the biggest corporate rebrandings in history, Victoria's Secret has canceled the Angels. They say they're no longer going to have these beautiful, hot women representing them. And they are going to hire Seattle soccer player Megan Rapinoe, transgender models, and other woke activists to build their brand. And in a statement, the chief executive said, "When the world was changing, we were too slow to respond. We needed to stop being about what men want and to be about what women want." And one of the things was Megan Rapinoe, the soccer player. And she said in a statement, "As a gay woman, I think a lot about what we think is sexy, and we are afforded the ability to do that because I don't have to wear the traditional sexy thing to be sexy, and I don't think the traditional thing is sexy when it comes to my partner or people I've dated. I think functionality is probably the sexiest thing we could possibly achieve in life. Sometimes just cool is sexy, too." Cool. Edgy. So I'll watch with great interest how this corporate rebranding goes for Victoria's Secret. But this is like a new Coke thing in getting away from something you were so famous for. All right, and then finally in the Fastest 15, there's a story that's horrible and beautiful all at once. At a middle school in Utah, it's called Shoreline Middle School, not to be confused with Shoreline, Washington. At a middle school in Utah, they had a large cheerleader squad. And one of the cheerleaders was this girl who has Down syndrome. And in an unbelievable bit of callousness and just, I don't understand what's working in the minds of the adults who made this decision. But they took two pictures of the cheer squad for the yearbook. One was with everybody, because this girl with Down syndrome, she was cheering just as hard for her school and for her sports teams, and she was dancing, and she went to every practice and workout, and she loved the girls, and the girls loved her. They love her. Not past tense, present tense. They love her. And she was just so happy being with all these other girls on her team. So they take a picture of the entire cheer squad, and then somebody made the decision, hey, let's take a picture without that one girl who has Down syndrome. And that's the one they posted in the yearbook. And it's a huge cheer squad. It's about 30 girls. And this girl was devastated. She gets the yearbook, and she's not in the picture. Okay, so I said there's a horrible story. I said it's also a beautiful story. Her name, by the way, is Morgan Arnold. She's 14 years old. And just the beauty and grace of her older sister, who talked to a news station about her sister being left out of the yearbook because apparently a couple adults thought that a girl with Down syndrome didn't match the physical ideal that they wanted their cheer squad to represent.
Morgan loves, and she was sad. She was sad that she was not included.
And a school spokesperson said they're very sorry.
The school district is deeply saddened that this mistake has occurred. So we're looking into what happened. Why did it happen? We're going to look at what changes can be made and talk to the family. We're going to continue to contact the parents so that they feel like a mistake like this isn't going to be made in the future, both with their daughter or with someone else.
But just listen to the grace of this girl's older sister, Jordan.
We asked her how she felt. She said, "These are my friends, and I want them to know that they're my friends. I am hoping to raise awareness that we can be better, and I am encouraged. I'm so grateful that the school's taking it seriously and that they are looking for ways to be better."
No anger, just grace. I thought that was really cool from the family. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, we had an exclusive story about the listener tipped me off on about the drag queen story time at the Shoreline YMCA for three-year-olds. The woman who tipped me off on this, I'm going to talk to her about it next after we check the news on the Dory Monster. As I told you in the big lead, the Young Men's Christian Association, the YMCA, they are sure doing some peculiar things. So we told you, we had an exclusive story several months ago about the scolding letter that the executive director of the Snohomish Y sent out to their patrons. And now, beginning today, the Shoreline Y, known as the Dale Turner Y, Dale Turner was a great pastor in our area, they're having a drag queen story time for children as young as 3 years old. And I was tipped off to this by listener Cindy, who joins us here in the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Cindy, I appreciate you tipping me off and coming on with me today.
Well, thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so what was the motivation for you reaching out to me on this?
Well, the motivation is, first of all, I should preface the fact that I taught school for 25 years. And I'm a grandmother with four grandkids. Upon entering the Y, right there on the counter, which my best friend is a daily patron of the YMCA in Shoreline. She swims there. And she alerted me to the fact that this was sitting front and center on their counter. And she took a picture of it and sent it to me. And after realizing what's been going on with the indoctrination of our children specifically, I just thought, this just seems wrong on all levels to be having a story hour with 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds about a subject that really I don't think they need to be concerning themselves with at this age.
The drag queen who's reading to the kids today goes by the name Mercury Poisoning. I played earlier some sound bites. The only video I could find of him, and he does identify as him, even though he's a drag queen, only video I could find was him just showing people how to mix cocktails. But the problem I have, if adults want to go to drag shows as their form of entertainment, I have no problem with that. I don't care what other adults choose
either.
To do.
I don't either. It's their choice, right?
Right, exactly.
I wouldn't go, but, you know, if somebody else wants to go, that's their deal.
I'm the same way. In fact, I have a friend, and he and his partner, they like to go to drag shows. I don't judge adults on that. But we're talking about three-year-olds here, and drag culture, what my friend has told me, drag culture is heavy, and nobody will dispute this. It is predominantly about very raunchy sex and sexuality, and it is a very heavy drug culture. And why parents want to start exposing their kids at age 3 to that culture, I do not understand. I don't understand what anybody finds entertaining about it, and I don't understand why a parent would think that that is any way life-enriching for a 3-year-old.
It absolutely blows me out of the water that the Young Men's Christian Association would succumb to this level of indoctrinating children, having children be present in a story hour where we know that there's going to be, we know what the person stands for. It's quite lewd. I've seen videos as well. This particular Melody Poisoning goes around the country doing this sort of thing. I just didn't realize it would infiltrate the YMCA.
Yeah.
You know, if they want to go to a club and attract whoever they want to attract, like I said, I'm not interested in that.
Right.
I'm actually a Christian. But aside from that, it wouldn't matter. I would still be rising up against this when it comes to my own kids or grandkids.
Yeah, well, I too am a Christian, and my family has made...
I know you are.
Yeah, we've made donations to the Dale Turner Y because I know a lot of people who've had really positive experiences, but I'm done. I'm done making donations. And you know, if they want to get away from the whole Christian affiliation and just become the YMWA, the Young Men's Woke Association, they can be that. They can be it.
Hey,
without
that's a
me.
Great term.
Yeah,
that's a great term. My brother and sister-in-law make large contributions to the Y. She also is done. there will be no contributions made. And I will advocate against them at this point. Until they change their philosophy, I'm against this. I will tell you, my friend has offered them a counter story hour. She said she would like to come in. She has emailed them. She has called them multiple times and read stories about family and love and happiness without any indoctrination towards anything. She's waiting for a call back. She hasn't heard back. Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Well, this is happening in our public libraries a lot. King County Libraries has drag queen story time all over the region, or they did before COVID. They're going to resume it. So here's what they would say. Although I've tried to get hold of the Y to see if they would come on and talk about this. They have not responded to our invitation. But here's what I know they would say, Cindy. They would say that this is about Pride Month. Pride Month is about inclusion. It is about teaching these kids to be welcoming to all, even drag queens. And they would say this is an important thing for kids to learn. So what would you say to that?
I would say that's a bunch of garbage. It is not important for children to learn about drag queens. Actually, it's not important for children to learn about any of this when they're 3 and 4 years old. They don't need this in their life. They are growing up. They are learning how to play. They are learning how to adore their families. They are learning how to enjoy life. Yep. This is not a subject that needs to be broached with a preschool child. It isn't, period.
And here's what I would say to every parent who wants to bring their kids to these events. I would ask them is look at what drag queen culture is about. It is about the raunchy sexuality and heavy, heavy, heavy drug use. And ask yourself, is that what you want for your child when he or she is 18, 19, 20 years old? Because at these events, they encourage the kids to follow them on Instagram. I know in King County Libraries, they were having the kids follow them on Instagram and other social media. And I looked at some of those social pages, and I wasn't comfortable on those pages. I certainly wouldn't want my 7-year-old on them.
That disgusts me. I didn't realize that they were actually encouraging the kids to follow them on Instagram. I mean, that's absurd to me. Yeah. And how tech savvy these kids are. You know, I have young grandkids in elementary school, and they are very tech savvy. And to think that that is a possibility, that they could see something like that on Instagram, and a parent would actually be responsible for letting them know about this, this goes to show you what's happening in our culture, especially around the country, but especially in this area.
Yeah, and in all fairness, that's at the King County Libraries where they were encouraging the Instagram follows and all that. I have no idea if this guy at the Shoreline Y today is going to do that, but I know it has happened.
Oh, yeah, we don't know.
At these story times. But, well, look, Cindy, it's important to make sure people know what's going on. I would challenge parents who think that this is just a hilarious thing to do with your 3-year-old to really look and see what the culture is about and ask yourself if you want your kids to be part of that culture in 15, 20 years, because I don't think any good, loving, caring parent would.
I don't think so, but it is happening. But I don't have an understanding for it. I really can't even grasp how this is even happening right now.
Yeah.
At a YMCA.
So, of all places. Yeah. Well, look, thank you very much for bringing this to my attention. I appreciate you coming on with me.
Okay, thanks so much. You have a great day.
That's listener Cindy, who told me about the drag queen story time today at the Dale Turner Y. I would love to get hold of Dale Turner's family, too, and to see if they're okay with this. Because like I said, Dale Turner was a man of Christ and of the Bible. And I would be shocked, but I've been shocked many, many times before. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973, and we have lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, man. People take their slushies serious as the weather starts to heat up. Back in Ohio, at a McDonald's, a woman wanted a slushie and she wanted 3 flavors mixed together. And for whatever reason, the workers said, oh, we're not allowed to mix 3 flavors together. I don't know why. It seems silly. But the woman who wanted the 3-flavor slushie, she went berserk. She went absolutely berserk on the McDonald's workers.
Now.
Give me Amber.
Right now at 6 o'clock, this woman not loving it at McDonald's, going on a vicious attack all over. Get this. A slushie? Yeah, earlier today, she was in court for her McMeltdown. 19 News was right there as she faced a judge with a face full of tears. RCA New Yorker was in court. She has more on the disturbing video that landed her in jail next to the Hamburglar, Sia.
Okay, now it is a disturbing video. The customer, she punches two different women in the face. Then she gets a glass of ice, and then she comes back behind the counter, punches them again. And then the two women take her down, and one of them in particular, one of the workers, starts punching her in the head and in the face. It was in self-defense. And then the cops finally arrive, and while the cop's standing right there, the woman tries to punch the McDonald's employee again. But here's what I noticed. Because it's really violent and it's awful, and you know, none of us would want to be in the midst of that. The customer is a black woman. The two employees are white. And I was thinking, would a TV station go with an all jokey, pun-filled news report if it was the other way around? If it was a white woman punching two black employees, would they make it a big joke and have a bunch of puns? Because listen to how the TV station they're covering.
Tiffany Hamburglar, Ronald McDonald, Grimace, the whole crew. Listen, this video's gone viral. And it all started when that woman asked the employees to mix three flavors of slushy. When they told her they couldn't, she jumped behind the counter and got violent.
You hit me and her.
That's Cherise Cleveland losing it Monday morning after McDonald's employees told her they couldn't fulfill her drink order, three different slushy flavors mixed together.
You gotta touch my boss!
Not being able to have a good time or great taste, police say that's when the 44-year-old woman jumped behind the counter and started an all-out food fight, throwing punches and slapping workers in the face. This is cell phone video from Brian Allen, who started rolling when things got violent.
When you're in public, you have to be so careful because somebody always has a camera.
Police arrested Cherise Cleveland on assault charges, and she was booked into the Portage County Jail. Tuesday afternoon at Ravenna Muni Court, Cherise Cleveland faced a judge via teleconference, trembling, crying, and grimacing with remorse. Prosecutors told the judge Cleveland is a danger to others.
It's just, it is so weird to contemplate that some people are willing and able to just lose it, lose complete emotional control. And it seems to be happening more and more. But they had all their little hamburger and McDonald's puns in that report. And I thought, but that wouldn't have happened if the demographics were a little different in the story. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour. And then we have a lot of new stuff, local news that we haven't gotten to yet, but that you need to know about. That's coming up next on the Dory Monson Show.